The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Something that I think is a bright spot for us all to look at as we bring upon this second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS, and that is the very first debate, mano a mano, last night between Cory Gardner, who must be reelected, and Dry Mouth John Hickenlooper. The contrast between those two candidates could not have been starker. And I was invigorated. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on, once again, good old 710 KNUS. And I have to tell you that Cory Gardner sliced and diced John Hickenlooper in the debate. I say that as a technical term, sliced and diced him. This was a debate put on by the Pueblo Chieftain, so it was streamed online. You can access it via their online platforms. But tonight, what I want to do is share for you an exchange between Cory Gardner and John Hickenlooper, about 10 minutes long, all about the ethics investigation, because this is just absolutely epic. How Corey handled this was brilliant, and how Hickenlooper handled it was absolutely embarrassing. Like, genuinely embarrassing, not just for himself, but for the people of Colorado. I want to play that whole exchange, about 10 minutes long. Then, on the other side, we'll bring on Dick Wadhams, former Colorado Republican Party chairman, former campaign manager for multiple successful Republican senatorial campaigns, including Wayne Allard here in Colorado and John Thune in North Dakota. And so when we look at this debate last night, what was so striking, I say dry mouth John, because he had a dry mouth the entire time. Like, you could tell how nervous he was, how ill-prepared he was just from that. I know, as a radio host and as a public speaker, how to detect a dry mouth, and it was abundantly apparent. But without further ado, let's play this brilliant exchange of Cory Gardner against John Hickenlooper on the ethics issues, and then we'll break down the debate and the current state of the race between Gardner and Hickenlooper with Dick Wadhams on the other side.
This year's advertising campaign has focused in large part on two issues, ethics and health care. Let's talk about those two issues. Mr. Gardner, you'll answer this first. In your ads, you have talked about, and you did in your opening statement, about ethics violations and even accusing Mr. Hickenlooper of conspiring with the media to cover them up. Could you please detail those accusations for our viewers?
Well, thank you, Steve, very much for this chance. And I've also talked about the Great American Outdoors Act and the conservation work that we have done, a conservation bill that the Sierra Club, that the Nature Conservancy have all heralded as one of our great environmental accomplishments. In fact, the Great American Outdoors Act that I've talked about in our campaign advertisements has talked about how it's the generation legislation of a generation that's the holy grail of conservation. The Great American Outdoors Act is going to create 100,000-plus jobs around the country. It's going to create thousands of jobs right here in Pueblo. So we have talked about that. I've talked about the work that we did in COVID-19 to bring hundreds of thousands of COVID-19 tests to Colorado when we couldn't get them, working with Korea and the relationships that I have built there, hundreds of thousands of N95 masks to Colorado to make sure that we had those here. And yes, I have talked about ethics because I think it's important. I think we tell the people of Colorado what has happened. You know, several years back, Governor Hickenlooper apparently forgot that he worked for the people of Colorado. And that's why he took private jet trip after private jet trip in violation of our state constitution, becoming the first governor in the history of our state to violate the state's constitution. And then he didn't even show up at his own ethics trial. You want to talk about sending new people to Washington? If you send new people to Washington with the same bad ideas and bad behavior, you get more of the same. Over the last 6 years, I've worked hard to bring people together. I've worked hard to create jobs in Pueblo, Colorado, to expand the steel mill and policies that create new jobs and opportunities for agriculture. Just the other day, I was out at Musso's Farms, where they're raising chilies, Pueblo chilies, the best in the country. And I saw hundreds of people coming there from across southern Colorado to celebrate our agricultural heritage. We have work to do in this state to recover from the pandemic, to create more opportunities. But it's clear that John Hickenlooper thinks that this state is about him. And when you think it's about him, when you think it's all about you, Governor, and you go to Washington, D.C. and have a government-run healthcare system and increase taxes and destroy our energy industry, then it's not about the people of Colorado. It's not about Pueblo. And that hurts our working families. I'm going to stand up for our working families just as I always have.
Mr. Hickenlooper, your thoughts on this topic?
Yes, well, and you're going to see, I think, throughout the course of the evening, Cory Gardner's going to come attack me left and right. He starts with these, what were really, in fact, two minor reporting errors. They were inadvertent. The Denver Post referred to them as an honest mistake, relatively minor. I paid the $2,800. I took responsibility. But let's be clear. Why those errors were so contentious. Why was there a dark money Republican organization that came and originally made 97 allegations? Only two were found, again, two relatively minor inadvertent mistakes. The reason is because Cory Gardner can't run on his record, and they needed to attack me any way they could. They knew that we had taken the state from 40th in job creation to the number one economy in the country. As I said, we created the first water plan in the history of the state of Colorado. We did all this by working all across the state. We brought people together from every walk of life. Now, Cory Gardner has voted 9 times to eliminate protections for pre-existing conditions. Now, he says he has a plan that'll stand up and take care of that, but that's a sham. That's been exposed by fact checkers. Let's look clearly. He's voted 13 times to try and either defund or otherwise eliminate the Affordable Care Act. He's says he's a great supporter of the outdoors, and yet the League of Conservation Voters puts him in their dirty dozen, the 12 worst polluters in the entire Senate. Let's take all this in perspective and recognize that these attacks against me are really because this Republican dark money can't defend Cory Gardner's record, and they're going to spend, as we've seen, tens of millions of dollars in constant attacks.
Thank you. Mr. Gardner, rebuttal?
Well, I don't think two violations of the state's constitution are minor paperwork errors. You violated the Constitution, John. You told the people of Colorado that your trips to Switzerland in 2012, 15, 16, 17, a trip to Wyoming on a private jet to attend a hunt, are more important than the Constitution. And it wasn't just two charges, John. The 91 charges that were dropped because they were outside of the statute of limitations. They were never even considered by the Ethics Commission. And if you apply the standards of those stories with the 91 other, you'd have been found in violation of those as well. And then you turned around and you paid for your lawyers with the taxpayer dollars out of a post-9/11 economic recovery fund. Two questions for you, John. Will you repay the people of Colorado the dollars that they spent for your violations of the state constitution? And will you reveal the truth about the 91 other trips that weren't even considered by the Ethics Commission?
You know, it is a wall of words and so little facts. The distortion and the outright lies have been there all along. You know, the bottom line remains that Cory Gardner hasn't done what he said he'd do. He said he'd be an independent voice for Colorado. He would never sacrifice the interests of the state because of loyalty to his party. And yet he supported Donald Trump 100% of the time. Let me say that Coloradans don't support Donald Trump 100% of the time. Let me say the accusations, there's no such thing as a 9/11 fund. You know that perfectly well. That's been widely reported.
It's not what the Denver Post said.
That's exactly what the Denver Post said. It was widely reported, and the bottom line is that if you really were worried about taxpayers' money, why are you pursuing the lawsuit started by Donald Trump to get rid of the Affordable Care Act? That lawsuit, which clearly is the reason why you flip-flopped in terms of the selection of the next Supreme Court justice. You were 4 years ago saying, well, there's not enough time, and you know, I would never take away the voice of the people. And yet, in the end, you decide you're going to flip that position this time when you've only got 44 days left.
So I take it you won't pay the
taxpayers
back.
So why don't you stop charging the taxpayers the millions of dollars that you're pursuing in that lawsuit to try and get rid of the Affordable Care Act and protect those dollars?
So you're not going to pay the people of Colorado back, and you're not going to reveal the 91 other charges that the Ethics Commission couldn't hear because they were outside of the statute of limitations. Is that the answer I'm getting tonight,
okay,
that you're just not going to?
Let's do it once at a time. So, Mr. Gardner, you're in your rebuttal now. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Again, the governor talks about wall of words. It's two words that I'm looking for. Yes, you will pay the taxpayers back the $150,000 that you charged them, that they paid for you out of an economic recovery fund, so because you violated the state's constitution. The other word that we need to hear is, yes, you will be accountable to the people of Colorado. Share and disclose the 91 other charges, where you went, who you flew with. The people of Colorado deserve answers. This is what happens when somebody has been in office and they think it's about them. Governor Hickenlooper got comfortable in the office. Heck, he even allowed corporate donations to pay for staffers in his office. I'm the third most bipartisan member of the United States Senate for a reason, because I build ground-up support from Republicans and Democrats to get things done. It's why we passed the most significant conservation bill in over 50 years, the Great American Outdoors Act. It's why I've led funding increases at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory at over 50%. And tomorrow, right here in Pueblo, Colorado, we're going to kick off the construction of a drinking water pipeline that will provide 50,000 people with clean drinking water that John F. Kennedy authorized in 1962. But we didn't get it done until a few months ago.
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper, final rebuttal. We'll move on to the next question after that.
Yeah. So any attack on the governor, the secretary of state, those are attacks on the office, and they are in every state paid for by the state. They make sure that those payments are done. Let's get back to the point, though. Cory Gardner continues to pursue this lawsuit to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. We're talking millions and millions of dollars. And what about the issues of of rolling back the protections for clean air, clean water, appointing a former lobbyist for the coal industry to run the EPA. Think about the cost of that. When you roll back all those protections for clean air and clean water and try to figure out how do you return to Colorado and talk to them as a, you know, you're trying to present yourself as a protector of the environment. And clearly that's not what's been happening at all. What you do, what you try to attack. You attack. And, you know, again, Corey is very slick and very polished. He's learned a lot in Washington, and clearly he's brought it back to Colorado.
Love this tune. Puts me in a great mood. It was the bump in for the segment. Gotta do it a little bit, a sort of bonus bumper. As we continue on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, best bumper music known to man, more than 7 years running now. By the way, it's Kenny Wayne Shepherd on guitar, Reese Winans of the Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble on keys for his own album, which is just an incredible one to check out. As we continue on this show, I figured, look, we were all sort of caught in the crossfire. If you were watching last night's debate between Cory Gardner and John Hickenlooper, where, as I said before here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on 710 KNUS, Cory Gardner just absolutely sliced and diced dry mouth John Hickenlooper. To talk about this, I am so pleased to be joined by a man who has run a few significant and successful campaigns for United States Senate and is former chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. Dick Wadhams rejoins us here on the show. Sir, welcome.
Jimmy, nice to be with you.
Good to have you as always. And by the way, just so the listeners know, I've been interviewing you for a full decade now because you were coming on my show back when I was at Regis University and you were state party chair.
I remember it well, Jimmy. I enjoyed our conversations then and continue to do so. So, no, I remember those days very well.
I would like to say they were good times, except that was not a very fun election year, 2010. But alas, here we are a decade later, and we saw that first debate. I just wish there was a wider audience to see Gardner's, I'll just be honest, mauling of John Hickenlooper. What did you make of it overall?
Oh, it was, well, I kind of expected it. Corey was excellent. Corey was thorough. Corey was substantive. Corey was aggressive when he needed to be. Meanwhile, Hickenlooper stammered, stuttered, couldn't follow a line of thought very well, kept talking about Corey lying, but he could never substantiate where Corey was lying. And he just looked bad again. Jimmy, I mean, I don't know what it is, but Hickenlooper just doesn't look like he wants to be in this campaign. But no, I thought it was a clear victory for Corey. The good news is there will be two televised debates here in Denver on Channel 7 and another one on Channel 9. So there will be a much bigger audience for the next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, especially based on sort of the table setting that we saw with the very first debate for Friday night, again, sponsored by the Pueblo Chieftain. But Dick Wadhams, I just played the full exchange, about 10 minutes, of Cory Gardner versus John Hickenlooper on Hickenlooper's ethics complaint. And I don't think the contrast could have been any starker.
No, I mean, Hickenlooper, it is not defensible at all what Hickenlooper did. The only thing I wish Corey would have done more of during that discussion, Jimmy, was talking about being held in contempt, that Hickenlooper was held in contempt by the Ethics Commission when he basically blew off a subpoena. But listen, there would be plenty of other opportunity for Corey to do that. But no, Hickenlooper, it's just, he has no explanation for it. And in fact, it to me, he came across that this is, you know, this is no big deal. And as Corey pointed out, it is a big deal when you get cited for violating the Constitution and our Ethics Commission laws and being held in contempt. And the fact that he doesn't think it's a big deal tells you everything you need to know about Hickenlooper.
Oh, no two ways about it. And it is, again, the contrast is stark. I think I have a short clip here. This is one of the stunning moments.
Your thoughts on this topic?
Yes, well, and you're going to see, I think, throughout the course of the evening, Cory Gardner is going to come attack me left and right. He starts with these, what were really, in fact, two minor reporting errors. They were inadvertent. The Denver Post referred to them as an honest mistake, relatively minor. I paid the $2,800. I took responsibility. But let's be clear why those errors were so contentious. Why was there a dark money Republican organization that came and originally made 97 allegations? Only two were found, again, two relatively minor inadvertent mistakes. The reason is because Cory Gardner can't run on his record.
So I just want to say, I took note of, I paid the $2,800. I'm like, how many Coloradans would just casually say, you know, I just paid the $2,800?
You know, I thought the same thing, Jimmy. I mean, the way, and on top of it, I mean, $2,800 sounds like a fairly serious fine to me, as you point out.
Yes.
And then Corey did a great job in pointing out why 91 of the charges weren't ever pursued, because they were passed to the statute of limitations. It wasn't because they were dismissed or had no merit.
Right.
They just weren't heard.
Well, but something else, too, is he says Cory Gardner refuses to run in his record. Well, in the first answer, when Gardner was given the opportunity to lay down the facts, he actually cited a few particular items he's proud of in his record before finally getting to blasting Hickenlooper over the ethics violations. And throughout the night, Cory kept highlighting achievements that he'd accomplished or other initiatives that he's been advocating for.
I know. I found that interesting as well, but Cory kept coming back to what he had done successfully in the Senate for the entire state of Colorado, but very specific things for Pueblo and Southern Colorado. And, you know, Cory alluded to that water project, Jimmy, that they're gonna have some kind of a ceremony tomorrow. And it really is something. John F. Kennedy went to Pueblo to announce that project in 1963. Shortly before he was assassinated, just a few months later, he was assassinated. But he came to Pueblo and to announce that that project, the Arkansas Valley Conduit, is what we know of it today. And all these years, it was never funded, and by Republican or Democratic members of Congress in Colorado. And yet, Cory finally got it done. And that is a big deal. I mean, Hickenlooper tried to dismiss the importance of all those things. So that's a big deal for Pueblo. Cory talked about what he had done for the steel mill, how John Hickenlooper wants to destroy the oil and gas industry, which a bunch of the steel workers in Pueblo are employed because of the oil and gas industry, because they make that pipe for the industry. And Cory was just, he was so substantive and so specific the entire night.
And not only so substantive and specific, but he was forceful in presenting his points and getting it across to the folks who were watching, particularly down in Southern Colorado. Dick Wadhams, our guest, campaign manager for multiple successful U.S. Senate campaigns, and of course, former Colorado Party Republican Party chairman. We're going to take a quick break. More with Dick on the other side. Stay with us. Rocking and rolling back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with a little government mule bringing us back as we continue with our guest, Dick Wadhams, who, among other campaigns, was the campaign manager for Wayne Allard's successful bid for the United States Senate. We're talking about John Hickenlooper's first and failed attempt to debate Cory Gardner in a Friday night foray at the Pueblo Chieftain. Dick, just so, since we're at the bottom of the hour, I want to recap for our listeners. I mean, this to me was just, I said before, stark contrast, but it was night and day in terms of not only how Cory presented himself and John Hickenlooper presented himself, but also in terms of the substance of the thing.
No doubt. I mean, Cory, well, he has accomplished so much in his term in the Senate, 5 years, five more, almost 6 years. And he talks about all those issues so easily. He can defend those achievements. Hickenlooper just he can't defend his own positions. And in fact, there were times, Jimmy, I'm not sure Hickenlooper even realized he had taken the position Cory was alluding to. For instance, when he brought up the health care plan that Hickenlooper had created with Kasich to replace the ACA, and Hickenlooper had kind of wouldn't respond to the question, and I couldn't figure out if he forgot he had done it or if he just didn't want to answer. And I frankly still can't decide.
I think he didn't want to answer it. In fact, I have a clip of a couple minutes from that exchange, especially because I want folks to get a sense for how Cory Gardner handled these questions as well. Let's take a listen to some of that bit when it came to healthcare, and particularly when Cory started talking about the Hickenlooper-Kasich plan.
The other thing, of course, that you agree on is to replace the Affordable Care Act. Both Republicans and Democrats want to replace the Affordable Care Act. How do I know that? Because you and John Kasich had a plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. When you ran for president, you talked about replacing the Affordable Care Act right now with universal coverage on a sliding scale. And let's be clear about what this wall of words that John talks about means. It means that he wants government-run health care. A public option will decimate our rural hospitals. A public option will result in government-run health care. In fact, Governor Hickenlooper actually admits that it will. It will lead to Medicare for All. Medicare for All will eliminate the insurance that 178 million people across this country get from their employer. Governor Hickenlooper's plan will devastate rural hospitals. It will remove 178 million people from the insurance they get through their employer. And on top of it, if you're a working family like I know everybody in Colorado is, you're going to face $2,300 in additional payroll taxes. That's John's plan. My plan, let's protect people with pre-existing conditions. Let's have a patient-centered healthcare system that actually takes care of people that work with their doctors instead of having a government bureaucrat make their decision for them. Let's allow new technologies and innovation, health savings accounts that can drive the ability for us to use our dollars the way we want to, not the way the government has decided for us. Insurance across state lines, association health plans. We will work to drive down the cost of healthcare, increase the quality of healthcare, but I believe the people of Colorado know what's best. When John Hickenlooper supported the Affordable Care Act, hundreds of thousands of Coloradans had their insurance plans canceled, and now he's after 178 million more.
Mr. Hickenlooper, rebuttal?
You know, again, more untruths, no connection to factual basis. He's taking other people's plans, putting my name on them.
Did you or did you not introduce a plan with John Kasich? That's the simple question.
Okay, time. We'll go to the next question.
That was John Hickenlooper not even answering the question, Dick Wadhams. And I tweeted out, I said, look, I did a paper, a three-page brief for the Millennial Policy Center back in 2017 on the Hickenlooper-Kasich plan. I think he didn't want to answer the question.
Oh, there's no doubt. That weird look he gave in his non-response, it was just kind of bizarre. I mean,
it was.
That was a very strong exchange. Cory just nailed him with and you know, he kept accusing Corey, "Oh, now you just want to destroy the ACA. You have nothing to replace it." Well, Corey definitely laid out his plan to replace it. I don't know, Hickenlooper just isn't in Corey's league in terms of substance or style, either one.
Yeah, I completely agree there. But Dick Wadhams, one of the challenges, of course, is that the Pueblo Chieftain debate, there were, I think, at one time, maybe 4,600, so 4,600 people on the stream. I'm sure a number of people more will watch it after the fact, but sure, certainly not the numbers that they will see in the Denver metro area when the debate is on Channel 7 and 9. So if this kind of a performance is repeated on both of those stations, do you think that that will benefit Corey in a way that actually will translate into votes?
Well, definitely there will be a much larger audience on both of those televised debates. But I wouldn't overestimate that either,
yeah,
Jimmy, because we all know that debates, most people don't watch them. And remember, which one is it, the Channel 9 debate or Channel 7? One of them is at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, which is kind of a really bad time. I mean, 5 o'clock on a Friday, most people are driving home or doing something else. I mean, it's just – but I wouldn't diminish them either. I mean, there will be a lot of coverage of the two debates. And if the next two debates are such lopsided affairs like the one last night, yes, I think it can have an impact. But I wish there were more debates. Hickenlooper knew what he was doing by avoiding debates. He knew he was going to get killed in every one of them, and so that's why he confined it to just three, and only two of those were televised.
So with that in mind, how do you think Corey Gardner can actually build upon or make use of these debates in the home stretch? Because I think there's got to be some way to actually turn it to his advantage. Are there advertisements there? I mean, that pause, for example, when just in the clip we just played, Hickenlooper was holding a bottle of water, opening that. I mean, maybe he could take some clips from these debates and plug them into ads?
I think you'll see some clips from this debate in some future ads, Jimmy, because he was so weak in responding to Corey's challenges, and that weird look he gave, I could see that ending up in an ad, because he basically refused to answer Corey's question. But no, there was definitely fodder that came out of this debate that Corey will be able to use.
Dick Wadhams, again, our guest here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. In terms of where this particular race stands right now, how do you handicap it? Because it clearly is a contentious one. It's something that people across the country are eyeing very closely. But I even talk with analysts from out of state who say, you know, I think you might have an opportunity for Corey Gardner. Like, he's the one guy in this kind of a position who could pull it off.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think Corey is still behind. I think that AARP poll that came out a couple of weeks ago, where they hired both a Democratic and a Republican pollster who jointly conducted the poll, it showed the race of 51-46, taking over with a 5-point lead. Now, the significance of that is to think about it. 2 or 3 months ago, Hickenlooper was up with a 15-17-point lead in most polls. So it is dramatically closed. I think Corey it continues to chip away at these. And the one factor, though, Jimmy, that still bothers me, and I am no detractor of President Trump. I think he's done tax cuts, judicial nomination, deregulation. He's been a very effective president. But the fact is, I do think he's upside down in Colorado, and he's got to keep it close enough that Corey can find that sliver of voters who might vote for Joe Biden but who will be open to voting for him. That's the pathway for Corey to win, and I still think Corey's definitely in the game.
You know, one thing that has always struck me, and I think we've talked about this before, is, look, in 2018, all four statewide races in Colorado for governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and treasurer went for Democrats, which surprised the heck out of me and a lot of observers, not just because it was a sweep, but because oftentimes what we have seen in Colorado is a tendency or a willingness to have a split ticket. That is to say, yeah, where previously, we in the two times John Hickenlooper won for governor, we yeah still ended up with Republican attorney general, secretary of state, and treasurer. I wonder if that kind of an inclination that Colorado has had is gone entirely, or if maybe it could manifest itself in this 2020 election, particularly where Colorado could go for Cory Gardner while maybe not going for President Trump again.
I think that's still very possible. Clearly voters in 2018 wanted to punish President Trump. Anytime a Wayne Williams, who was one of the most respected secretaries yes of state in the nation, loses, and frankly, she's an idiot.
She is.
What she did this week, Jimmy, in terms of that tweet asking the national news media to not return to report on results was shameful. And of course, she got nailed and she pulled it back. But any time a Wayne Williams is unseated by somebody like Janet Griswold, the voters were just blindly voting against Trump in that election.
Right.
I think in this election they will be more discerning. Hickenlooper has been such a lousy candidate and ethically challenged, to say the least. I do think there will be, and Cory can find the voters who might vote for Biden, but who will be open to voting for him. And that's the pathway, and I think he can get there.
And finally, in terms of the Senate race, then I got a couple other questions for you. You've run Senate campaigns before, Wayne Allard, John Thune, for example. What is it that really pushes a senator, especially somebody running for reelection, but just in general, over the finish line? Because it is always there are different dynamics for every position. A U.S. Senate race is different from a race for governor or president of the United States. What are the keys to being victorious in a U.S. Senate race?
That's a really good question, Jimmy. And of course, the last Republican senator to be reelected was Wayne Allard in 2002. And now Cory's the only, and we haven't even had an incumbent senator since then until now. But Cory is wisely doing what we did with Senator Allard that year, which is Wayne has accomplished a great deal, especially on the environment. And we talked about that a lot because those swing voters in Colorado do want to know if you're a Republican, they want to know if you cared about Colorado's environment and if you did anything about it. And Cory's got a great record, and he talked about it tonight. And so they really want to know just what the heck did you do for the past 6 years? And so we really made that case. And then, of course, there is a contrast with the opponent, and we certainly did that and aggressively. And now Cory is definitely doing that with Hickenlooper. So, I think Cory is running a magnificent campaign. He's a tremendous candidate. I can't say enough about how well he's doing in his campaign. They're giving him every opportunity to potentially win this thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we have to just be driving home in terms of confidence for Republicans to make sure that you get out and you support Cory Gardner in his reelection. It's absolutely essential. And by the way, one big reason why, and I think we talked about this a few months back when I last had you on the show, Dick Wadhams, mm-hmm, one big reason why is not just because we need Cory in the Senate for a vote for President Trump or judicial nominations or incumbency, you know, we want to have that position, but also because come 2022, it's going to be a lot more difficult if we don't have any statewide elected Republicans in office to take back any of those statewide seats.
It really will be a shame if we don't have any statewide offices, Jimmy. And of course, if we lost Cory, I mean, he is such a traitor, in my opinion. I mean, he's really probably one of the most outstanding people we've ever elected the statewide office in Colorado, and it would be a shame to lose them. And like I say, it will not be because he is not a great candidate or running a great campaign. It would be because of factors beyond his control. But I'm still very optimistic. He has closed the gap. He was outstanding tonight. Voters start picking up on things like that over the course of the campaign. And Hickenlooper looks tired and old and uninterested, and what am I doing here? Why can't you just give me this race? And so I think voters will start picking up. They are picking up on that.
Dick Wadhams, again, former Colorado Republican Party chairman and campaign manager for numerous campaigns, including some successful U.S. Senate races. Speaking of those factors beyond Cory Gardner's control, I mean, Donald Trump, president of the United States, running for reelection. What did you make of the news surrounding him and being infected with COVID-19 and now at Walter Reed Hospital?
You know, Jimmy, if this year could get any weirder, I don't know how it could. I mean, think about it. I mean, the debate from earlier this week seems like ancient history. The rollout of Amy Coney Barrett just a week ago seems like ancient history now. In terms of the COVID thing, and we obviously we all want the president, and the first lady to recover from this, but the political fallout, I don't think we can really judge that until number one we see how fast it takes the president to recover, mm-hmm. and just how the public reacts to it. We are truly in uncharted territory, like we have been so often in this campaign. But this one, really, who knows where we're headed on this one?
And one of the things that is of concern is obviously President Trump had been getting back out there on the campaign trail. Now it's Joe Biden who's able to go around. And while he does these very staged appearances and obviously for not long periods of time, he's still able to go out in a way President Trump will not be for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
We also have learned that Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina has been diagnosed with COVID-19, meaning he's going to have to be quarantined in a very pivotal race to hold seat in North Carolina. And yet he's not going to be able to do quite as much campaigning. Hopefully they're healthy enough to at least get on Zoom and do those kinds of remote campaign appearances. But that's going to be tough in this home stretch.
Wow. I had not heard about Tillis yet. I heard about to Mike Lee from Utah, but
yep.
I had not heard about to Tillis.
Now Tillis.
Well, this is going to be an amazing 4 weeks between now and the election. We have no idea what will happen.
That's for darn sure. Okay, finally, Dick Wadhams, let's talk for a moment about the state legislature. Obviously,
yeah.
Republicans are not going to take back the House of Representatives in Colorado, but we are looking at a state Senate that we need to at least hold on to, but maybe Republicans could do one or two pickups. I don't know. How do you handicap the state legislature?
Well, Suzanne Stiers, I think, is running a really good campaign in Arapahoe County.
Yep.
That's a really tough seat. They're spending a lot of money attacking her. My word, I see TV ads.
Lies, like untruths. You want to talk about untruths? That ad that's been running is absolutely maligning her in vicious and untrue ways.
It's horrible. Kevin Priola in Adams County, I think, will win in holding that seat. The Southern Colorado seat for the Arkansas Valley and the San Luis Valley is an open Republican seat, but we have a great candidate, Cleve Simpson, and he'll hold on to that. That's not a particularly Republican area, but we've been able to win that Senate seat, and Cleve will hold on to it. So I guess what I would say, Jimmy, is that I would be happy, given the circumstances, that we could just keep our 1916 edge.
Yeah.
And if we got to an 1817 Democratic majority, that would be a huge victory. Our opportunity will be in 2022 when we have redistricting of the state legislature. And I think that will be our opportunity to make gains and hopefully elect a majority.
How about Congress, the U.S. House seats, where we have noticeably more Democrats than Republicans?
Yeah.
You've got Steve House in the 6th Congressional District. Any chance that we could pick that one back up?
Well, Steve is running a spirited campaign, but Crow has used his incumbency very effectively, and he's raised a lot of money. And, of course, Trump was not very popular in the 6th District in 2018, which contributed greatly to Mike Kaufman going down. So it's not impossible, but it is very challenging to probably try to win that. Of course, all the congressional district lines will change in 2022, because we're going to get an eighth congressional seat. Mm. And so all the CD lines will change. And so who knows what the sixth will look like in 2022.
Yeah, and if we get an eighth district, what those lines will look like.
Yeah, we will. We're going to get the eighth district. So that literally demands a total reshuffling of the deck on the congressional seat.
All right, Dick Wadhams, former Colorado Republican Party chairman. Always great to get your insights here on 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Jimmy. Always fun.
Absolutely. Once again, Dick Wadhams joining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Always great to get his insights, especially on the U.S. Senate races, because having been successful at winning multiple U.S. Senate races, including in Colorado, he has some really important and keen insights to offer in that regard. Colorado has certainly changed a lot since that successful re-election in 2002 of Wayne Allard, but it's still their same principles that apply in these cycles, regardless of the changing dynamics of a state. But Cory Gardner, look, the reality is, if anybody can do it, if anybody can hold on to this seat, it is Cory Gardner. And we need him to hold on to the seat for any number of reasons. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Vote for Cory Gardner, because if you don't, and you claim to be a conservative, you claim to be a Trump supporter, you claim to want to advance our agenda, then you are being foolish. Please vote for Cory. I cannot say it enough. We need to hold this U.S. Senate seat, and Cory Gardner is doing a very fine job. And his performance in the Friday night debate for the Pueblo Chieftain was exactly what we needed and exactly what we need to see moving forward in the next two debates. Dry mouth John Hickenlooper. He doesn't want it. He's not into it. And he must be stopped. All right, next hour, Dinesh D'Souza, my interview from this week. Fascinating interview, extensive, with Dinesh on his new movie, Trump Card, and more. Keep it here. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS.